Well, man, it's good to see you guys. It's been a fun 3 weeks coming back, and we are on week three of that, July the 12th. If you're watching online, we're so thankful you're with us. If you're on vacation or still not ready to take steps back in, we completely understand. We're glad you are here with us online. Look at the person you came with or the person you're sitting around and say July the 12th. Say it real quick like you mean it. And now say this, say air conditioning. Man, oh man, you guys are faithful, because doing Church for Americans without air conditioning, you guys are the brave ones. You guys are the confidence, you guys are the courageous. But July 12th, we'll be back on all of our campuses, Oconee, 211 here at 316. We will return to our Next Gen Ministries and all that. Still, the room size will only be about half full because of distancing and things like that, but it'll be our step back in. Thank you guys, man. Thank you for engaging in this time with us these last 3 weeks. Last night, it rained, it poured, so one of you wasn't living right. I don't know who it was. Raise your hand if it's on you. If it's on you, that's you. That's all right. You're forgiven. But man, you got a breeze today. Come on, you know. And so we're glad you're here. If you got your Bibles, 1 Samuel 14. If you got your app on your phone, 1 Samuel 14. We spent 3 weeks there, and I want to end by just encouraging you for a moment, by just giving you a challenge. 1 Samuel 14 is the story of Jonathan, the son of King Saul. It's a story that's kind of in the midst of a lot of different things happening, and people often pass over it. King Saul's the first king of Israel in the Old Testament. Jonathan's his son, and King Saul is in a predicament. Jonathan has confidence and courage in the midst of it. And what we've done the last few weeks is really visually talk about what we've all walked through culturally, what we've all walked through collectively as a people. And we've used these three chairs on stage. Said that the chair of certainty is a chair where you know what's next, you know what's coming, you know how the week goes. It's about predictability. It's about knowing what's happening. It's about my rhythm. It's about my routine. The certainty is just kind of where we wake up knowing what the day holds. And we talked about in this season that we all took for granted kind of knowing how our, sure we would get a curveball, sure we'd have to call an audible here, there, and yonder, but in the midst of it, just what does it look like? In the chair of certainty. And what we said was 3 months ago, not on our own decision, not by our own choice, but because of the realities going on, we were all forced into the chair of uncertainty. And uncertainty is about unfamiliar. Uncertainty is about unknown. And we've walked through that and are still walking through that as a culture of people with not only coronavirus, but all the different dynamics and things going on as well in our culture. And maybe in your own life, the chair of uncertainty is where anxiety, where worry, where angst, where fear resides. And if certainty is where we're comfortable, uncertainty is where we're uncomfortable, and we're kind of not sure what's next. And we've been invited, what we've said over the last few weeks, is this chair of confidence. And a confidence not in your own self, but a confidence in God that says that I know God is with me in this season. And I know I'm equipped and capable to be a light, to be the salt, to be a difference maker in our world. In the midst of all of this, I know God's equipped me and I'm capable. And I don't know what's next, but I know God is never surprised, nor is he ever mistaken. And I can trust him with tomorrow. And this is the chair of confidence. This is the chair of confidence. And what we said was we can't wait on our circumstances to find our confidence. But in this culture, we've got to walk out with confidence and boldness. With confidence and boldness is because it's what the people of God are called to. And so 1 Samuel, we left off with Jonathan, the son of the king, ready to go to war, ready to advance God's kingdom in this season, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And he's sitting there waiting, and his father Saul has been hesitating, who's the king. And we left off where Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, let's go. Let's go to the other side of the mountain. There's two of them. They're going to another garrison on the other side, an outpost on the other side where there could have been up to 500 soldiers. But Jonathan, trusting God, knowing what God can do, takes a step out. Let me read the scripture to you in 1 Samuel 14. Here's what it says. Verse 7, and his armor bearer said to him, do thou all that's in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I'm with you heart and soul. Jonathan said, behold, we're going to cross over to the men. So he looks at his armor bearer. Here's what he says. We're going to go over the mountain. If the soldiers on the other side start to come at us, we might have trouble in our hands. But if they taunt us and say, hey, why don't you guys come on? We'll know that God's given them into our hands. You can read it right there. And so Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, let's roll. And as Jonathan and his armor bearer approach the outpost, the soldiers, the Philistines, get up and they basically begin taunting them. Look at the Israelites who are coming out of the holes. Look at the Israelites who are coming. Come on up here if you think you want some. That's Jason slang for what they're saying right there. And so Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, let's go, let's roll. God has given them into our hand. And as they begin to go up the mountain, here's what the scripture says. And it's so powerful. It says that Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer killed them after that. About 20 men were taken out in one swoop, and there was a panic in the camp, in the field. This is verse 14 and 15. And among all the people, the garrison, even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a victory. So what happened was, as they took a step out, Jonathan took a step of faith, God fought the battle. Jonathan courageously stepped forward, and God turned the enemy on itself. Saul, the king, sat and waited for the right circumstance to go on. Jonathan, in the seat of confidence, the son of the king, stepped forward in confidence that God fought the battle, turned the enemy on itself. On a surface level, this is a story of two men with two different levels of trust. On a surface level, this King Saul and his son Jonathan, two different levels of trust. On a football field, I'm reminded when I played high school football, I had an old kind of southern, if you can think about it, coach. And he was older. And he had these crazy sayings he would say to us. And he would look at us in the middle of a hot summer of practicing. And it was like this without the breeze. And it was in the middle of August. And I remember him saying, gentlemen, I would rather try to tame a wild stallion than I would ride a dead horse. He would say that over and over again. Gentlemen, I'd rather try to tame a wild stallion than I would ride a dead horse. Here's what he was saying to us. We're half-hearted in the middle of hot, humid. He was saying to us, I'd rather have a person with passionate energy around me than somebody that lacks it. This looks like, on a surface level, Jonathan had passion and energy and Saul did not. But truthfully, this was a test of trust. See, because when you sit in the seat of uncertainty, and I've talked to person after person who emotionally in this season, like all of us, have been up and down. It seems like we've become numb and lost our energy and passion because the news changed everybody. Anybody with me? And that seat of uncertainty. In the seat of trust, there was a confidence. There was a confidence. And he stood forward. See, say the word with the person sitting right around you. Say that word trust. Say it 1, 2, 3, trust. One more time, if you're watching online, if you're here with us live, say that word, 1, 2, 3, trust. Trust is one of those words we use in the faith community like love, hope, and faith. That we have broad words for, but what does it actually mean? Jonathan in this picture is giving us a picture of trust. It's giving us a defining picture. Say the word one more time, and then I'll read it to you. 1, 2, 3, say trust, trust. Trust is expressed when we have absolute confidence in God in the midst of uncertainty. And we're willing to move with God even without a guarantee of personal success. It says deep trust. See, God never promised that we'll know everything about the future. God never promised that the present would be void of mystery. What God did promise us is as his people that we can walk forward in whatever circumstance and live life to the fullest. And what I've learned about trust in my own life, tell me if this is true. I grew up as a preacher's kid, and maybe you're new to church or new to faith, you've never heard the story, but I'd hear these Old Testament stories and I would think, man, yeah, that's good. Like Jonathan fighting this battle 2 on 500, and you're like, man, that's unbelievable. I'd hear these Old Testament stories and go, yeah, But it just is hard to relate. Why? Because when's the next time you're going to be sitting on the side of a mountain ready to take on 500 people? Not happening. You know what's more real in our life? Taking the trash out on Thursday so the garbage guys get it, you know? That's more reality in our life. You know what else is reality in our life? Is bills due. You know what else is reality in our life? Having the kids. And so you read these stories, you're like, yeah, man, I hear you. But come on. But here's what I want to say. Trust is a pattern. What's a pattern? In art, it's a reoccurring design. In life, it's reoccurring choices. You and I both know, we say this phrase all the time, we are creatures of habit. Trust is a pattern we form. And when we form the pattern of trust in our life, we begin to sit in a place of confidence with God. But let me say this to you as well. Worry and uncertainty and anxiety, it's a pattern. It's a pattern. Trust is a muscle we build. It's a reoccurring choice. It's a reoccurring pattern. And the reality is the same for anxiety and worry. In fact, here's the interesting thing. Saul and Jonathan, if you follow their story, go back to chapter 13. You can do this when you get home. Remember I said worry, anxiety, and angst, it's a pattern in our life. But trust is a pattern. If you look at Saul and go back to the chapter before, God had called Saul to lead God's army forward into battle. And again, he had told Saul, when I want you to go to battle, when Samuel the prophet comes and prays and he offers a sacrifice for you because I want Israel to depend on God. So Saul's about ready to take the nation of Israel to battle again, but Samuel's running late. You can read about this in chapter 13. And so instead of waiting on the prophet to come and pray and offer a sacrifice, Saul decides, I'm going to do it myself. That's what uncertainty and worry and angst does in our life when we sit in this. Sometimes we hesitate because we don't know what to do, and other times we take control because things aren't going the way we want them to. So just a few months before, Saul had done the same thing. This time with worry and uncertainty, he had taken things into his own hands. Now in this picture, he's waiting around when he should be moving forward. Uncertainty makes us unpredictable in the choices we make. But if you follow the story of Jonathan on in 1 Samuel, Jonathan sat in the seat of confidence. Trust was a pattern, and that pattern never left Jonathan. What do you mean? Listen right here. If you follow the story, after Saul, David is anointed king. Now, Jonathan is Saul's son, which means he's the prince. He's next in line. But God anoints David. But here's what Jonathan does. Jonathan befriends David. Jonathan becomes best friends with David. Jonathan sacrifices for David. Jonathan protects David. Why? Because there was a reoccurring trust in God that Jonathan had, that no matter the situation, he trusted God. But there was a reoccurring uncertainty and worry in Saul's life that no matter the situation, what always came up was anxiety and worry and fear in Saul's life. It's a picture of trust, Jonathan and Saul. Here's my question. It's a picture of trust in Jonathan and Saul's life. Here's my question. In this season, what repeated acts do we have? Our culture, all you need to do is flip up your phone and get on social media or go to the news, are sitting in the seat of uncertainty all the time. What's the next headline that can freak everybody out? Give it about an hour, you'll find one. You with me? In the seat of uncertainty. We sit over there, not sure, but in the seat of confidence, the people of God know, I don't know what's next. What pattern are we building? A pattern of trust? A pattern of trust or a pattern of uncertainty? See, over and over, the question is, will you trust me? That God's answering, God is asking us every day. What do you mean? Will you trust me when you have limited resources? Will you trust me when emotionally you're ready to give up? Will you trust me when the future seems uncertain? Over and over, the people of God are always asking the question of trust. Will you trust me when there seems to be more bad news than good news? Will you trust me when there doesn't seem to be an end in sight? Will you trust me when you don't understand? Will you trust me when you feel alone? Will you trust me when there doesn't seem to be a way that I will make a way? Church, it is in saying yes to God. Online, listen to me. It's in saying yes to God again and again when nothing seems to be at stake that we build what it takes to say yes to God when everything's at stake. It's in saying yes to God. That's what trust is. Building it over and over again when nothing seems at stake, saying yes, that we begin to build it when everything seems at stake. What's the pattern in our life? I love this, and I wrote it down. Listen to me. I read it this week. Worry is putting a question mark where God's put a period. Come on. Worry is putting a question mark in our life where God's put a period. See, there's questions we all ponder in our head that we don't say out loud. And I think when you sit in the seat of uncertainty where Saul sat in this story, in this picture, the question that we sit over here when there's worry and angst and anxiety, here's the question we ask ourselves over and over again. When's this all going to be over? When can we get out of this mess? But in the seat of confidence, we ask a different question. And that's the question of how can God be glorified in this situation? In our life, we're pondering questions all the time in our head. And what many of us are asking in seasons like this, and I've been there as well, when's all this going to be over? See, the crazy part of the coronavirus and COVID and then all the other things going on in our culture is all of us have personal things going as well. And they're just amplified personal difficulties, personal hardships, personal things that have nothing to do with everything else that's going on. And in the seat of uncertainty where it's just like, man, the question we ask, the question we think on is when is this all going to be over and behind us? But in the seat of confidence, the question that we ask is how can God be glorified in this situation? See, a deep trust in God changes the questions we ponder in the seasons of life. A deep trust in God. See, as the band comes, let me lay it out like this for you because I love this. We're not in this season by an accident. We're not in this season, but it's by God's providence. I love what David Jeremiah says. He's a pastor that I just love to read from time to time. And I wrote down, he says, being in a hard place with God is better than being in an easy place. It's better than being in an easy place without Him. Isn't that good? Being in a hard place with God, Bethlehem Church, is better than being in an easy place without Him. And what I love about this story, Saul and Jonathan, two guys, Jonathan and his armor bearer, taking on 500. Here's what I love is the unsung hero that is the armor bearer. The young, like the guy didn't even have a name. Samuel, who writes this, doesn't even give him a name. He's just Jonathan's armor bearer. But I want to set the scene for you because there's just something that hops off the page at me in this. Because it's one morning and Jonathan wakes up like it is any other day and he knows this is the day to take on the enemy. So here's what I picture one morning after camping at night. Jonathan wakes up and kind of nudges his armor bearer. He says, hey, man, maybe not with his foot. Maybe he was a little gentler. Hey, bro, wake up. You and I go ahead and put on your armor. Give me my armor because you and I are about to go take on 500 guys on the other side of a mountain. That was his wake-up call. Think about this. They've been camping. Side of a mountain. Armor bearer's laying asleep on hard rocks, and Jonathan looks at him and goes, hey, bro, it's time to get up and fight. You and me, we're going to go over to the other side of the mountain. I know God can deliver us. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I know what could happen, and that's good enough to me, so I'm going. You see, if I'm that armor bearer, and that's the message from David, this is me. This is probably not you. If you're watching online, it's probably not you. But if I'm that armor bearer, and that's the message I get from Jonathan in this moment. You know what I say? Hey, bro, why don't you let me know when you're for sure it's going to go good? Why don't you wake me up then? Let me sleep till then, right? Hey, bro, I hear what you're saying, but, I mean, don't you need to consult with your dad first? There's only two of us, and there's a whole lot more soldiers. Are you sure about this? I mean, Jonathan just wakes him up and goes, hey, man, we're going to battle today. Just you and me. We're taking on the Philistines. If I'm that armor bearer, I look back at Jonathan and I go, hey, dude, I'll be honest with you. Let me catch a couple of more Z's right here, and then maybe we'll go, right? Or, hey, what did you eat last night? You're not hearing from God. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but something's not right with you. That's a natural reaction. But here's what that armor bearer says. It doesn't even have a name in Scripture, just the armor bearer. Here's what he says. Do what's in your heart, Jonathan. I'm with you heart and soul. Let's roll. The first thing he hears in the morning, hey, bro, put your armor on. Give me mine. We're going to the other side of the mountain, and we're going to pick a fight. And that armor bearer looks at him and goes, let's roll. I mean, come on. Who does that? Not Jason. I'd have gone, all right, but think about this for a second. Let's wait this out, and when God gives us a definite sign, then we'll go. No, armor bearer's like, I'm with you. Here's my question. Where does that come from? Here's my question, Bethlehem. Where does the confidence to look, man, I'm with you, let's roll. Here's where it comes from. Jonathan, the guy he's been following, the guy he's been close with all these years, you know where he sits? He sits in the seat of confidence, and you know what? Confidence leaks. Confidence oozes. Confidence begins to permeate from his life. And so the people around Jonathan picked up on the confidence he had. Oh, church, you get what I'm laying down. My question in this season, where we talk a lot about what's contagious. Let me tell you what's contagious. Confidence. Let me tell you what people need to pick up from you. Confidence. Because I'm going to tell you what else oozes from people. I'm going to tell you what else permeates from people. I'm going to tell you what else leaks from people. Angst, anxiety, and worry. Here's what I'm asking you. Here's my challenge. What are you leaking? What are you permeating in this season? What are you oozing? What's coming off of you? Because everybody will tell you, because I'm telling you, man, oh, I'm confident God. God's got this. But the people closest to them will tell you how they really feel. Oh, man, I'm confident. Here's why that armor bearer said, let's roll. Because Jonathan was confident. And confidence leaks. And so the armor bearer carried the confidence of Jonathan. What do the people around get from you in this season? What do the people around you in your family? What do the people around you in your job? What do the people around you in your neighborhood? What do they pick up from you? May the people of God be the people of confidence. That we ooze, that we permeate, that we leak that in a world that needs the church. Will you stand with us? So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters all over this field. I pray for those online at home watching with us, worshiping with us. What are you leaking? What do people pick up from you? What's oozing out of our life? And maybe in this season, for a moment, if I can pray for you, set COVID-19 to the side, set everything else going on in our culture side, but you got some personal things you're dealing with. You got some personal things you're walking through. You got some other stuff happening in your life that has nothing to do, but it causes uncertainty. It causes a heaviness. It causes this. If I can pray for you right now that you're like, dude, I've sat in the seat of uncertainty. In fact, I am because things going on in my life. Will you just lift your hand across this place? Just let me pray for you. Yeah, all over. For my friends, for my brothers and my sisters, keep your hands up. We pray in the name of Jesus. I pray hope. All the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. So I pray yes over my friends and family, and brothers and sisters in Christ with their hands up. And I pray right now they would have the yes of the hope of Jesus. They would have the yes of the blessings of Jesus. They would have yes of the courage. That they would experience this divine confidence even in the season they're in. God, I pray right now, no matter the circumstance they're walking through, God, that they would, like Jonathan, that picture, walk ahead, not knowing what's up, but that knowing that you're with them. The seat of confidence. I know God's with me. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know I'm equipped and capable. So I pray right now for the peace. All the promises of God are yes in Christ, and the peace of God to be on them. Because the truth that we're all holding on to in this season is even when we don't see it, we trust your working. Even when we can't sense it, we're going to trust your working.